The 2026 midterm landscape is clarifying in ways that should worry both parties for different reasons. In Texas, the race that has now produced three consecutive polls showing Democrat Chris Tallarico ahead of Republican Ken Paxton for the Senate seat is rewriting assumptions about the map. Paxton is a known quantity. He survived an impeachment attempt, he's been attorney general for years, and Texas hasn't sent a Democrat to the Senate since Lloyd Benson won in 1988. Three straight polls showing a Democratic lead is not a fluke, it's a pattern.
What's interesting to me about the Tallarico story is the tactical decision he's made. The Republican campaign has leaned into attacks on his masculinity, a strategy that's been used effectively against Democratic male candidates in southern states. Tallarico's response has been to confront it directly rather than pivot away. He's talking about it openly, making it part of his stump speech, essentially daring Republican voters to evaluate the substance of the attack. It's a calculated bet that treating voters as intelligent enough to recognize the tactic is more effective than either ignoring it or getting defensive.
The broader Democratic picture is complicated, though. Democrats are polling well in red states. Texas, Montana, and Ohio are all showing competitive numbers, but they face new structural threats to their Senate path. Some of those threats are from within the party. Bernie Sanders is publicly declaring the Democratic establishment out of touch amid socialist primary wins in several House districts. That internal tension between establishment candidates who can raise money and win general elections and left-wing candidates who win primaries but may underperform in November is a problem the party hasn't resolved.
Pete Buttigieg saying he's more inclined than not to run in 2028 is the biggest Democratic 2028 signal of the week. He's leading in recent primary polls. Kamala Harris's support has dropped sharply from where it was a year ago. The fact that Buttigieg is signaling at all right now, more than 2 years out, suggests his team sees a window opening. The 2028 Democratic primary could be the most consequential intra-party contest since 2008, and the field is starting to take shape.
On the Republican side, the dysfunction is more acute and more immediate. Senate Republicans are privately, and in some cases not so privately, describing Trump as a growing liability for the midterms. That framing is significant because Senate Republicans were among Trump's most reliable institutional protectors during both impeachment proceedings. If they're now using liability language, it reflects genuine electoral anxiety, not ideological distance. The Blanche AG nomination deal illustrates the kind of transactional politics that's holding the coalition together. GOP holdout senators agreed to back the confirmation after Blanche rescinded an anti-weaponization fund while preserving Trump's audit shield on his family's IRS matters. The price of Senate Republican unity is apparently ongoing institutional accommodation of the president's personal legal interests.
McConnell's 50-day absence is adding to the dysfunction narrative. There are growing calls from within his own party for either his resignation or documented proof of his fitness to serve. McConnell has been through serious health episodes, and his absence from the Senate floor for 7 weeks during a period of active legislative business is drawing scrutiny that's no longer being politely ignored. The Senate Republican caucus is navigating a combination of Trump pressure from above, electoral anxiety about the midterms, and a leadership vacuum that McConnell's absence creates.
The House Ethics Committee recommending censure for Representative Edwards adds another data point to the institutional stress. The DOJ clarifying it never investigated Representative Luna over insider trading allegations, after reporting suggested otherwise, is the kind of misinformation cycle that erodes trust in oversight mechanisms, regardless of which party is involved. And Trump publicly saying that Pirro choked after dropping the reflecting pool case reveals the continuing personal accountability he demands from appointees, which has a chilling effect on prosecutorial independence throughout the administration.
The Pence-Fauci development deserves a beat here, too. Pence told Fox News that Fauci repeatedly assured him COVID did not come from a lab, and he said he was very disappointed that Fauci invoked the Fifth Amendment more than 100 times at a congressional hearing. Biden's former COVID chief has now also said publicly the pandemic was likely a lab leak. when figures from both administrations are converging on the lab leak hypothesis, the political dynamic around COVID, origins accountability changes significantly. The questions about what officials knew and when are no longer partisan talking points. They're becoming a bipartisan accountability narrative.